Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Discerning Consciousness with me, Mike, and Ant-Man. I would just like to say a big thank you to everybody who gave positive feedback for our intro podcast. I just couldn't believe the amount of feedback we got and the good and positive reactions.
Yeah, can I second that, Mike? It was really great to get all that positive feedback, and obviously gives us a lot of encouragement to continue.
Yeah, and especially the people that wanted to be a part of it as well, especially this early on, hasn't even like evolved into its own thing yet properly.
Sure, yeah.
So, you know, it's just fantastic to see all that.
So tell us, Mike, what's up for discussion today then?
Well, this is going to be our first proper show. So this one we're going to be doing all about prophecy, what it means, what it's all about, and how it's used within society, really.
Absolutely.
To start off, I think it's a good idea if we go back to the very meaning and etymology of the word. So what I was looking up, it seems to be that it really comes from a Greek, yeah, the prophetia, gift of interpreting the will of God.
Okay.
So with that in mind, it gives you a very different understanding of prophecy from just something about the future to being it's interpreting the will of God.
Sure. It's also in the sense of a noun, in the sense of the function of a prophet, and this understanding first appeared in Europe during the 13th century. So this is kind of the understanding that we're all quite familiar of.
Yeah, yeah. So a prophet is someone who prophesizes the future.
Yes, exactly. Then we have, I've done some research, it's quite interesting, about the psychological understanding of the word prophecy. In the work of neurologist Arthur Deichmann, I hope I got that right, he describes the phenomena as an intuitive knowing, a type of perception that bypasses the usual sensory channels and rational intellect. And also the work of psychologist Julian Jaynes, again, who is very well known for his book The Origins of Consciousness in the Breakdown of the Bicameral Mind, which was published in the 1970s. And really his work is, this is sort of seen in terms of, if we look at prophecy, in terms of the expression of the will of God.
Yep.
And he posits that the gods heard as voices in the head were and are organizations of the central nervous system. God speaking through man, according to Jaynes, is a more recent vestige of God speaking to man, the product of a more integrated higher self, which are both some very interesting insights there, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely a different twist on the idea.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, the reason we thought about talking about prophecies and predictions is because, well, especially last month in September, there was quite a lot of predictions for the month. Yep. Well, there was a prediction that the society was going to collapse on the 23rd.
Global financial collapse.
There was also a prediction of a possible comet hitting on the 27th, 28th,
right,
coinciding with the blood moon.
That's right. Around about September, funny enough, I came across this article on a website called endoftheamericandream.com. Very interesting article called The Big List of 33 Things That Are Going to Happen in September 2015. The interesting thing was that each event we have listed here for each day in September, some very interesting things. I'll just give you a brief summary. We have on the 13th a partial solar eclipse that occurred. On the 17th in the States we had Constitution Day. 21st we had the UN International Day of Peace. So, sort of various things happening all throughout the month, September.
Well, September is normally an important month in the year. Sep meaning seven.
Yeah.
But we're actually, it's the ninth month in the year. Thanks,
sure,
Romans, for that one.
Sure.
So it's always interesting how it's important in every year. Because
sure,
what was
absolutely
it? The 9/11 that happened in
absolutely
September.
September. Yeah, I mean, also the author here, Michael Schneider, he goes on to say about speculation of unusual activity at the Large Hadron Collider occurring in September, so we had that as well. But in spite of all these events happening, I mean, all these events did actually happen, and, you know, I guess the significance was the fact that they were all happening in a short space of time in September. We didn't see what was envisioned, which was the economic collapse, the global financial system.
Well, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of glad it didn't happen.
I would agree with you there. Or quite a few people were predicting geological changes.
Yeah, earthquakes and tremors.
And things. But yeah, I mean, you know, these things that were prophesied, didn't actually come to pass.
Yeah. So, then again, so often things that are prophesied don't happen.
Sure, absolutely. So what's up next then?
I think we should go to another big prophecy. Everyone was shouting about it. Everyone thought it was the end of the world. That was 21st of December 2012, the Mayan calendar date. Everyone latched onto that date as being, right, the world's going to end then. That's it. There's nothing more than that.
Although
don't pass go. Don't collect 200.
Truth
is, the 2012 date, the 21st of December, just the date that several mega cycles within the Mayan calendar system all coincided to align up on that date.
It's a point, the way I see it was, it's like a point, the kind of progression of human consciousness.
Yeah. So it was a culmination of energetic changes.
Sure.
I mean, yeah, it was a big period of change, energetically speaking, within the amorphic field of humanity, but it's not something you could ever say would have been a physical event.
It's very hard to objectively say how you experienced it yourself. Although, having said that, you did have an experience, didn't you, Mike? Did you want to tell the listeners?
Yeah. So I actually did have quite a weird experience on the 21st of December 2012. I was expecting everything to go on, nothing happened, it would be fine. I just had this kind of like epiphany type experience where I still don't know how to fully explain it.
Uh-huh.
But the only words I know how to use are the fact that it was like having a conversation with myself, or my higher self, as it were.
Okay. Or maybe even a conversation with God.
Yeah, I mean,
I think there's a book there. So.
But literally, I just, as soon as I would think of a question, the answer would come straight away. There was no delay.
So instant manifestation.
Yeah, there was no delay in terms of, I ask a question, the answer would come. Sometimes it would be in a vision, you know, a little image in the head. Okay. Sometimes it would just be almost like a voice, you know.
A period of heightened awareness.
And I mean, so that kind of like weird period happened for about half an hour on that on that day, about 9 o'clock in the afternoon, evening, I should say.
Yeah.
But then for the next week, I literally was like on another planet. I was skyrocketed through the roof in the most blissful experience you could ever imagine.
Right.
And the whole thing kind of like was a bit weird because I didn't know how to deal with it. It was unexpected.
Put it in any context.
Yeah. And at the same time, I was almost going semi-crazy because I was having my almost like, holy fuck, am I meant to be like the new Jesus sort of thing?
You had the early Ike syndrome.
Yeah. So everything was like happening at once in that era. And after about a week of that like super amazing experience of everything being awesome, I just then hit rock bottom. Sure. Boom, you know, everything that goes up has to come down.
Absolutely.
And to be honest, I hit kind of hard, you know, went into depression.
Sure.
But if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't have learnt the things I've learnt, and I wouldn't have come to be doing this podcast.
That's very interesting.
The 2012 definitely was something, just not what everyone thought it was going to be.
I think that's a good description. I believe now we're going to delve back into history now.
Yeah, definitely. One prophecy that's always coming up over and over again is the biblical prophecy at the Book of Revelations.
Absolutely, and the dreaded Mark of the Beast.
Yeah.
My knowledge of this, obviously from a conspiracy angle, I haven't studied the Bible widely, is there's a lot of reference to chipping, isn't it? This is said to pertain to the idea of the bad guys and girls eventually want us all chipped.
Yep, so the microchip, the digital currency, you know, you can only buy and sell if you've got that mark.
Sure, and present events in a kind of quite a negative way, we see maybe that will come to pass.
Well, we're already on the stepping stones.
Yeah, the infrastructure's there, isn't it?
If you take into account what's happening with Apple Pay and Google Wallet terms of trying to get you to pay with your mobile phone now instead of your credit card.
Yeah. Apple Pay recently launched here in the UK.
So the next step is, you just want a little microchip better under your hand, wave your hand over the scanner.
The internalization of the technology.
Yeah, like David Icke says, whatever you do, avoid the microchip. People.
Absolutely. So what have we got up next then?
Well, we're talking about prophecy, and we can't really talk about this without bringing the big boy to the table, and that is Nostradamus. Come on, he's the most famous prophet of them all. He made the most predictions.
Absolutely.
And to be honest, every event throughout history, you could pretty much, in one way or another, tie to one of his quatrains.
Absolutely. I mean, he was a prolific writer, wasn't
he? Yeah, I mean, I was surprised the other day to find out that after 9/11 happened, it was the most searched searched for thing on the internet was Nostradamus predictions.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. So it shows you how he's, for a long time, been in the public consciousness.
Yeah, in the mindset of everyone.
Yeah.
When it comes to Nostradamus, the things he did, I mean, the most famous one that he predicted, it was King Henry II of France. He predicted his death in the way he died painfully over a long period of time. The Queen of France, Catherine Medici, brought Nostradamus to the court, but the whole time she was worried about her husband. You said, don't do this, don't do this, you're gonna die.
Sure.
And then he died from this jousting battle, you know,
so,
it splintered.
Mike, his writings were known as quatrains, weren't
they? he always wrote in verses of four. It's very cryptically how he wrote them.
Obviously had a lot of knowledge of esotericism.
He was very into the Kabbalah and astrology in terms of making his prediction.
He was also a healer.
Yeah.
And he wrote two books on medical science.
He was a very smart chap.
He was, yeah, real Renaissance man.
You want to talk a little bit about Albert Pike, don't
yes.
you? It's quite poignant at the moment, considering everything that's going on in Ukraine with Russia, and especially the world of Islam, because everyone's worried about that Third World War that Albert Pike predicted
all those years ago.
I mean,
his name is widely known in conspiracy circles, and it was in 1871 he wrote a letter to Mazzini and called Plan for the Three World Wars. Now, he didn't actually give any dates. I can give you a brief summary here, and I think once I've read these, we can say it was pretty spot on what the wars were about. So he said the First World War must be brought about in order to permit the Illuminati to overthrow the power of the Tsars in Russia and of making that country a fortress of atheistic communism, which we saw came to pass.
That definitely happened after
and
First World War.
The Second World War must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences between the fascists and the political Zionists. This war must be brought about so that Nazism is destroyed and that the political Zionism be strong enough to institute a sovereign state of Israel in Palestine. Well, that doesn't really need any further explanation, does
it? Can I make just one point there?
Of course.
This was actually written before the word Nazi even came about in a German consciousness.
Sure.
To have that in your
well,
prophecy.
Well, what you're pertaining to, he was a Freemason. He was a sovereign Grand Commander of the Scottish Rites.
I mean, he pretty much owned the show.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, he's pretty much a poster boy for the whole...
I mean, what was it? He's the only Confederate general to have a statue of him anywhere in America.
That's right, yeah.
And that statue isn't actually for his work as a general. It's actually his work as a Freemason.
Sure. I think we can say he had his finger on the pulse.
Yes.
I think lastly we just need to finish on Pike.
Oh, yeah, the third one.
What he actually said was, the Third World War must be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agenteur of the Illuminati between the political Zionists and the leaders of the Islamic world. The war must be conducted in such a way that Islam and political Zionism mutually destroy each other. Well, again, we can see that, you know, we can see, as you said, events happening in Syria pertaining to this, whereby, you know, in a worst case scenario, we have a war between Russia and America. Thankfully, it doesn't look like things are going to play out in that way. Thankfully.
No, I think everything's going to divert from it, but that's something to explain in a bit.
That's something for another day, I think. So what else have we got in terms of prophecy?
Well, with all the prophecies that are around, I just wanted to actually go a little bit back to Revelations.
Okay, back to biblical.
Yeah, it was interesting to find out recently about how many different pastors in America, mainly in America, have predicted the end of the world.
Okay.
And since 2000, has been over 22 predictions for the end of the world date.
22?
I know, it's ridiculous. There's been like 40 since I've been born.
Right.
Every single one of them wrong, and you'd be surprised that some of them were on the list several times.
Okay.
One of the most notable for me was a couple of years ago, a guy called Harold Camping predicted the end of the world. It got on the news, everyone laughed at him.
Okay.
Date came and went, everyone laughed at him even more. And then he came back and said, nope, I was wrong. It's actually going to be 3 months' time.
That always happens, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Puts me in mind of one of my favourite researchers and esotericists and writer, Neil Kramer. I remember listening to an interview once, and he said, well, his webmaster, trawling through emails, you know, every day there's someone predicting something happening on a certain date. So you can put a pin in the calendar on any day, and there'll
be a
prophecy of some description. Just finish in terms of prophecy, the Jehovah's Witness.
Because it's not just the Christians at the end of the day, it's the other secular group. Jehovah's Witness and even the Mormons have predicted different dates.
The Mormons, it's the White Horse prophecy, basically, which predicts that the United States, the Constitution, will be in crisis and this entity would come along and and save it.
Well, to be fair, that one's pretty spot on, considering what's going on in America, where they're trying to dissolve the Constitution of America. I mean, they're trying to take away the gun rights, they're trying to take away people's rights.
Sure. Which we can see as one of the reasons why a lot of these false flag shooting incidents...
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's all going on, so sure. That one actually has a bit of credibility sure. to it. But the one thing I always find is the different cults and different spiritual movements around, if they make sure. a prediction and it doesn't come right,
sure.
they'll just kind of like be quiet about it and be like, no, we didn't say anything.
I mean, the beauty of the JW, Jehovah's Witness one, is, again, it only really comes into light when you die. It's all about what happens when the Chosen, it says exactly 144, who after death will rule with Jesus as kings and priests over earth.
Oh, yeah, the 144. 4,000.
You know, but again, it's like to their flock. It's like, how can you prove it? It's like, well, you'll find out when you die. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I've always taken that to mean the Rainbow Warriors, the Indigo Children, considered the 140,000 to be them, the people
I've always thought myself as an Indigo Child. So maybe I'm a J. Duffy.
No, but it's the 144,000, because that's actually part of the Revelation book.
Yeah, it's Revelations, chapter 14, verse 1 to 5.
The number there is all to do with the people that are here to help the planet spiritually sure. evolve and sure. Get to where
to
it
it through, yeah.
Without going to self-destruction.
Yeah, sure.
So that's what I've always referred to.
Sure.
So
yeah, interesting. Of course, just lastly, I'd like to add with, I mean, not strictly prophecy in the strictest sense, but of course in Eric Blair, in his novel, George Orwell, but obviously his real name was Eric Blair.
Yeah.
A lot of what he prophesied.
Oh yeah, with 1984.
It's actually, we're living it now, 30 yeah. years later. So, I mean, although he's not known for prophecy as such,
one important thing to mention there is 1984 was meant to be a prophecy for sure. it happening sure. in 1984.
Because he was an insider again, like Albert Pike, he knew
what was going on. Sure. But the one thing that most conspiracy people forget, really,
yeah.
is the fact that the power the humans as a collective has against the conspiracy.
Of course,
because
yeah.
every time we push back and say, no, we're not sure. standing for this,
sure. Absolutely.
The conspiracy takes a step back and goes, okay then, we'll step back for a bit.
Good example of that, certainly here in the UK. I remember a few years ago where they were trying to push for an ID card, and a lot of people
just said no.
They had to stop with their agendas.
Not just that, the government spent billions of pounds investing in the sure. idea, and then we're just like, no, what's sure. the point?
Absolutely.
We've already got a driver's license.
Absolutely.
Why do we need another
and that's
bit of
the
ID?
Route that they take now is kind of like a surrogate sort of ID card.
Yeah.
Right, so I think we're into our second section now, aren't we, Mike, where we're going to look at sort of prophecy, just analyse, you know, some of the reasons why there's interest in prophecy, some of the deeper meaning.
Yeah, and I think we've got to take a much more zoomed out look at what's the whole deal with it, and why do we attach ourselves to these
sure.
prophecies all the time? Why do we need them?
Why do they have such an appeal?
I mean, first thing I want to discuss really in that is like with the David Icke's problem, reaction, solution, or to proper name the Hegelian dialectic.
Yeah. Which, again, a lot of conspiracy researchers will be well aware of.
Yep, which goes on about kind of like self-fulfilling prophecies, because they're trying to bring about what they want in the first place by making you want it.
Right, okay.
And that's very much in your face. Here's a problem. You react with, yes, I want something done about it. And then you go, well, here's something I prepared earlier. Okay. The Blue Peter effect.
So I can think of an example, again, here in the UK. Recently, we've had a lot of incidents of organisations being hacked.
Yep.
Banks being hacked. Just this last week, we had TalkTalk. American listeners, is a big telecommunications company.
So, that's on the news quite a lot at the moment.
About people's, the hackers got access to all the personal details. But again, it's put in seeding, this idea of seeding into the public's mind, the consciousness of this danger, this threat.
Yeah.
It's this threat.
And we all know they're trying to push the agenda of Internet 2.0, where
sure.
you've got like a regulated, you've got to sign in with your personal details just to get on the internet,
sure.
let
yeah.
alone signing into Facebook or anything
sure.
like that. So that's almost like give you a driving license for the computer in
sure.
a way.
One of the a set of circumstances whereby Internet 2 could be implemented by the authorities if, say, there was an orchestrated cyber attack from Islamic State or some organisation, and then we may well see a clamour from the public worldwide, well, certainly in the UK, something must be done.
Yeah.
This is, you know, the reaction.
And that's always the outcry.
It is, yeah.
But we've got to say no. We exactly. want our internet. We want our internet free.
Exactly.
Because how else can you use it?
So what are we going on to next then, Mike?
Well, we always find that we've got an appeal for this destructive prophecies because there's something fantastic about what's there not being there anymore.
Sure.
So everyone's
the idea of rebirth.
Yeah.
Almost, yeah.
But the fact is, everyone loves the idea that the society is going to collapse,
sure.
and they clamour to it. You know, you get it especially on The Walking Dead, you know.
Sure.
Everyone says, oh, wouldn't it be great to live in a
sure.
thing like
what
that.
What do you mean by The Walking Dead, Mike?
It's a zombie apocalypse TV
okay.
show.
Thank you.
So, yeah, society has collapsed. You're living by yourself now.
Okay.
And you don't have those rules of society there.
Okay.
I mean, that's what people love about it, really,
okay.
is
sure.
there is no rules.
Sure. Can I just add, I think what's interesting, you know, I think cause a lot of our listeners would have come through the conspiracy, as we have.
Yep.
I know when I was heavily into conspiracy research about 7 or 8 years ago, certainly, you know, without the balance of the esoteric knowledge that I've taken on board since, is this real, I was so eager for society to collapse because I was focused on all the ills, all the evils of society.
Yep.
The only way I could see change was actually by the system collapsing.
Yes.
And I didn't, because at the time I didn't have the more spiritual, esoteric knowledge on board to understand, no, actually, I'm the centre of change. And, you know, we all collectively begin to change society right now by
yep.
deciding how, you know, how are we going to manifest that change in this moment. And that begins by being... You know, doing the very simple gestures like being nice to your neighbour, begins in that way, I believe.
Yeah, that comes to a fantastic quote that actually goes on the lines of, I was smart, so I wanted to change the world. Now I am
yeah.
wise, so I want to change
yeah.
myself.
I think that sums up where I am now.
Yeah.
And I believe one of the reasons why there's so much information, well, a lot of it, as we know, is disinformation online.
Yeah.
Sites where you have a lot of dark conspiracy stuff about how they're empowering us, right? But it's not balanced with how you can empower yourself.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, that's all we have. We have
yeah.
the power. We
absolutely.
Are the power.
But I think more and more people now are beginning to shift their perspective and realise that, you know, although it may sound like a cheesy New Age meme, you know, all change begins from within, but actually it's very true, and more people are
understanding. It's one of the highest truths that you can attain to seek.
Absolutely. So, Mike, I think you've done a little bit of research, being a bit of a movie buff, aren't
oh,
you?
Oh, yeah, I like my movies, especially the ones that tie into the conspiracies, because it's a good movie, and it's you're doing your research
sure,
at
so
the same time.
So what have you found that relates
to
what
well,
about?
To be honest, there's a film called Tomorrowland, George Clooney film. Everyone should check it out. It is brilliant. There's two quotes that I really want to take from the film. I'll paraphrase bits because it is quite a lengthy quote, to be fair.
Okay. I think that our listeners would be quite interested to hear some.
Okay. So the quote is, near the end of the film, Hugh Laurie's giving this kind of like, bad guy, this is what's been happening, you know, saying how it's all done. He's trying to show everyone the collapse. And everyone's gobbling it up, taking it, eating it, whole line and
so
sinker.
Is that why, at the moment, I've noticed, again, here in the UK, lots of programmes based around the apocalypse?
Yeah.
Is in the culture.
The destruction, the end of the world.
2012 movie, loads
yeah,
of stuff.
It, everyone wants it.
Sure.
And the reason they want it is because it's change without creating
exactly.
something.
So, I'd say, again, from a conspiracy angle, some certain types are lapping it up because it's, yes, we're getting this change. And I just think from those who aren't, more mainstream types, they just lap it up from the entertainment, but actually, again, like this co-creation, they're actually bringing about change.
This is the thing. Society creates the future by the amalgamation of everybody's individual idea of what the future is
sure.
going to be.
Sure.
So it uses the amorphic field in terms of, right, you're all putting that data in,
sure.
it all gets averaged out, and then, boom, the future
sure.
is what
I think
is out of that.
Does it say... It'd be interesting some quotes further on in the film.
Yeah, yeah. So I do recommend everyone watches it, but this is a very lengthy quote. But one of the two bits that I want to pick out is, yeah, it goes here, to save civilization, I would show its collapse. How do you think the people reacted? The imminent doom? They gobbled it up with the chocolate éclair. They
so it's like, as you're saying, in
didn't
the cult-
fear the demise, they repackaged it to be enjoyed at video games, TV shows, books and movies. The entire world wholeheartedly embraced the collapse and sprinted towards it with gleeful abandon.
And we can see that playing out now.
Yeah, meanwhile, the earth was crumbling around it. Simultaneous epidemics in obesity and starvation. Explain that one. you know, it's saying about how the canaries are dying all around us, and we're not taking notice.
Mass species die off. Or?
Yeah, the bee collapse. Yeah. That one's horrendous.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at you, Monsanto.
And how I think there's a quite pertinent at the end of this particular.
Yeah. So it says. So why do we dwell on this terrible future? Resign ourselves to be it. One reason, because that future doesn't require anything from you today.
So we're back to this whole idea that it appeals because of our sense in which we're disempowered.
Yeah, it's actually the fact that we don't have to put any energy and effort into it happening.
Sure, yeah.
Because the truth is, everyone is kind of like consumed with the idea of what's going to happen to them in their future.
Sure.
They can't be bothered.
We're very, very myopic.
Yes.
And the culture encourages
that's the way the society's set up. So everyone's trying to just try and get enough food to eat, and at the same time, all this terribleness is going around.
And that's why the system, we have to earn money just to live. We're the only species that has to earn money to live.
Yeah.
For good reason, in a way, so that, you know, we don't come upon this kind of truth about the power we do have.
Oh, most definitely.
But I think that is changing, and I think when people do realise the power they have, then something shifts. And we're seeing that now, where people are not prepared to stay in jobs they don't tolerate, in jobs that don't fulfil them, or relationships that don't fulfil them anymore. You know, the truth of their lives is being brought to them, and we're seeing that.
Yeah, just a few more bits I want to read from this quote, because there's so much of it. At every possible point, there is the possibility for a better future. But because we don't believe it, we don't put energy into it.
No.
And then because we don't put energy into
it,
we don't get there.
Absolutely.
So it is that wholehearted belief that in every possible moment lies the potential for a better future.
Sure. Although I think the internet is proving, and we're trying to contribute to conscious, you know.
We want to connect to everyone and help everyone expand their own consciousness.
Absolutely.
Because one thing that really comes down to is another quote from the same film, is it goes, there are two walls. One is fear and hate, and the other one is love and light.
Okay.
And it goes, right, there are two walls fighting. Which one wins? And the answer is, of course, whichever one you feed the most.
Right.
And that's really what prophecies all come down to at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Because if people put a lot of effort and energy into that prophecy coming true,
sure, it will happen.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Sure.
If you don't put the energy into it, it doesn't happen.
And in a way, you can see how this feeds into the idea of like magic and sorcery.
Yeah, because really what it's saying at the end of the day is you're creating your own future. It's what you put out is what you get back, and that's what it is.
Sure, and because we're coming to a time where we're shifting into the 4D and into a period where all the energies are changing, it's almost as if these realisations, they have to be brought to our attention at this time. It's almost as if it can be no other way, really.
I mean, it is the energies that's playing out.
I mean, how would you, just to sum up this section, I would think it's nice to think about how in our everyday lives we can apply this. And I know in my life, a good way to think about this thing, how to be empowered, is at every point, you know, during the day, what is your focus of attention on? You know, I know it's so easy with the net to go on and look at numerous YouTube channels and clip after clip after clip, and you have to think, well, how is that serving me? You know, it's like part of why Mike and I have started this podcast, is think, well, we've got this project, this podcast, we're getting, you know, our thoughts and ideas out there, and, you know, it means that we feel that we can be more productive. And I don't know if you agree with that, Mike,
for
our listeners, it's really important to think, you know, during the day, where's my focus? Where's my point of consciousness?
Yeah, what do I need to be doing?
Yeah, exactly. But simple as that. Right, I think we can kind of summarise and wrap up now.
Yeah, well, there's two ideas I just want to get out before we finish this all off. And one is a little bit of physics for everyone out there who's a bit more kind
the
of
science,
like,
the geek bit.
Who's a bit more grounded in the 3D reality. And if you put it to an idea that everything that's happened up to this point had to have happened that way and couldn't have happened any other way, because otherwise it would have. Because every particle is where it's meant to be, and the past is unchangeable. That's happened.
Sure.
But our only choice in the moment is, what do we want to make the future?
Absolutely. That's where we have our power.
Yeah, so if I was to leave everyone with a quote, something to empower themselves throughout the day, so what are you going to make your prophecy about?
I like that, Mike. It's very empowering. Yeah. Very empowering. I think that's
we're going to wrap it up now. What we're going to say is next week we're going to try and do the podcast about...
We're delving below, we're going to kind of the murky world of New Age fluff. Delve right in and see what's going on there. And
you know, the love light and everything's beautiful. Don't tell me about that nasty thing's happening. Put the
chasing
fingers in
the darkness ears. And all that. We're going to delve into that and see what's really going on there. So we look forward to you coming back soon.
Yeah, and we hope we get some good listens and make some comments if you think suggestions, what you want to hear about, let us know.
That's all from Discerning Consciousness.
Have a good night now. Bye.